Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the Baptist Bias. We're in episode one, The Cancer of Liberalism. And we're going to be starting our show, as we always do, with our binologue with Ben the Baptist.
Left wing hysteria. It's the product of the liberal media industrial complex. It's the outrage cycle that never stops. Lately, after the anniversary of the January 6th Washington, D.C., quote-unquote, attacks just passed, it's once again drawn the ire of pink-haired mobs and the pundits who socially engineer them. It's a day that has been compared to 9/11, to Pearl Harbor. It was an insurrection. It was an attack on our democracy. It was sedition, a symptom of white supremacy. A completely organic terrorist plot with no FBI involvement whatsoever. Of course, right-wing racists on social media have been asserting that secret informants may have, in some instances, incited violence that day. And so they're asking questions about a guy named Ray Epps, who mysteriously disappeared from the FBI's most wanted list without being arrested and was caught on video inciting a mob to go ahead and breach the Capitol. Politico got to the bottom of this, and they officially debunked this spurious claim. They said this in one of their articles, quote, Epps, who has become the centerpiece of an unsupported GOP claim that the FBI incited the mob that ransacked the Capitol last year, met with the January 6th Select Committee in November and told them he had no relationship to the FBI or any other federal law enforcement agency. So to recap, they asked him if he was FBI, and he said no. That's the big fact-check bomb that the leftists are celebrating right now, and it's something we're supposed to be amazed with. But you see, the reality is, we may never know what really transpired that day. We may never know exactly what was the catalyst for January 6th. But what we do know is that the leftists are still crying about it to this day, over a year later. What we do know is that the left-wing outrage mob never ceases. There will always be an occasion for mentally enslaved morons to repeat talking points fed to them by the corporate media. There will always be an occasion for these people to waste their lives repeating the exact same talking points every single day, coming from their overlords at CNN, who then directs their vitriol elsewhere whenever they want to. There will always be an occasion for us, as a result, to point and laugh at them. You ask why? Well, it's because left-wing hysteria is hilarious. It's so funny. It's entertaining. They've branded January 6th as the worst terrorist attack in U.S. history, but then the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots that burned down cities across the country, according to them, were nothing more than just, well, fiery but mostly peaceful protests. They use meaningless platitudes like diversity and inclusion, but then they screech at the top of their lungs for social media platforms to resemble digital gulags, where everyone, right of center, just barely is censored at the drop of a hat. They supposedly follow the science, but then get triggered into oblivion at the mere assertion that men aren't women or that babies are still alive even in their mother's womb. They're committed to protecting democracy, supposedly, but then, well, they'll smear election integrity bills as racist because everything, of course, is always racist all the time. And there's no such thing as election fraud, ever. Their cognitive dissonance, their lack of self-awareness provide for us endless entertainment. For people who are outside of the cult, for people who have a brain, it's like a sideshow act at a 1950s traveling circus. The problem is, they're not acting. They really believe this stuff. They really believe math is racist. They really believe Dr. Seuss is offensive. Men get pregnant. Inflation is good. Riots are peaceful. Joe Biden won the election without a shred of fraud whatsoever. It's all real to them. They really believe this stuff. And contradicting the accepted narrative will get you canceled. It'll get you deplatformed. It'll get you unpersoned. In fact, I'm surprised this segment is still broadcasting live on YouTube right now and that it hasn't...
And thanks for joining us. This is the Baptist Bias, and I'm your host, Pastor Shelley. And that was our Benelog from Ben the Baptist. And it's great to finally be having episode one. We had a pilot a few weeks ago, actually last year, even though it was just a few weeks ago. And I'm really looking forward to doing this show. Our show this evening is on the cancer of liberalism. And man, as Brother Ben just pointed out, there's so much hypocrisy and so much just idiocracy that is associated with liberalism specifically, that I feel like it's really important that we kind of just take an episode to kind of address some of this just ridiculous hypocrisy and really kind of identify liberalism as the disease that it truly is. Liberalism is not something that really is an acceptable alternative or is a viable option, but rather it's just simply a disease that does not just simply affect Democrats. It also affects Republicans, conservatives, independents. Really, liberalism at its core is an agenda designed to try and drag as many people down with it as possible. Just like cancer gets into the body and eats and affects the cells, tries to kill the cells. Really, there's no good cancer. That would be the same in my mind as someone saying, oh, there's good liberalism, there's good communism, is the same suggestion as if there's good cancer. But no one wants any kind of cancer. And we need to try and eradicate it from all bodies, whether Democratic or Republican, and realize it's not really a party issue to me, but really it's a disease that's affecting the whole body. And it's something that I think we need to address with the Baptist bias. So thanks for kicking off. Brother Ben, why don't you say a few words?
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Episode one of the Baptist Bias. And if there was ever a topic that you could say constitutes a hobby horse for me, this is it. I love to kick this dog, and I will continue to do it until the day that I die. And I love the title of our podcast tonight, The Cancer of Liberalism, because that's exactly what it is. It is a cancer. It is a disease. And in fact, they ought to be mandating social distancing and masks for the disease known as liberalism rather than COVID-19, which is not nearly as serious in my estimation. And we're going to, I think, point out tonight that this really is a cancer, that it is a disease, that it is an illness, that it is a virus, and what it does when it infects the host, how it just, it destroys, it corrupts, it dissolves, it perverts. We'll show you some examples of that. We've got articles, a couple of videos that we wanted to play as well. But on the onset, people will automatically assume that if you bash the left, you must then be a supporter or a cheerleader of the establishment right. Just because you don't like Coke doesn't mean you suddenly like Pepsi. And that's not the case with us. And we'll also point out that, in fact, this is a two-party problem. It's the two-party duopoly. And really, the Republicans, and we'll play a clip later about this, they're just 5 years behind. They're just 10 years behind. You know, we'll point that out later on. But I'm really excited about the podcast, as you know. We've got some people filing into the chat room. And before we get started, I just wanted to do a quick plug for the fact that we are on multiple podcast platforms right now. You can check us out on Spotify, the Stitcher Radio app, Apple Podcasts, and you can do so, Podbean as well. Almost forgot that. You can do so by just using the keyword Baptist Bias, and you'll find us. Download the show there. The audio-only podcast is available. Share it with your friends and family. Pastor Shelley, I'm pumped up. I don't know if you could tell, but this is my topic, man. This is my hobby horse. I despise the left.
Well, you know, it's who likes cancer? I mean, we gotta despise the things that are eating us alive and destroying us. So I know you have a lot of great questions. There's more to talk about than we have time this evening. So let's get it kicked off. What is our first topic that we want to address?
Well, I think we should start things off by noting some of the political ramifications of our podcast tonight, which is that the midterm elections are coming up. And ultimately, the point of us bringing this up is just to point out that this disease has infected both parties. But right now, everybody is gearing up for the midterms. And it says, there were a few articles that I had pulled up about this, but I don't want to show, you don't have to worry about putting these on the screen, Tim. It's just something I wanted to read for people just to help them, you know, get them up to speed. But it says, as of this is from 270 to Win. As of January 2021, the U.S. Senate has 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats. So it's split down the middle, including two independents. Democrats will control the chamber as the vice president can break tie votes. There are 34 seats in 2022, of which 20 are held by the GOP. That party can retake control with a net gain of one or two or more seats. And so what's at stake here in the 2020 midterms is control of the House, control of the Senate. And a lot of people who are into politics are gearing up for this right now because it's very important to them. They want their party to control, you know, obviously the House and Senate. And what typically happens during this time is if the president's a Democrat, the Republicans usually do well in the midterms, and the opposite is true. If the Republicans, you know, hold the White House, it's, you know, I found this resource here from Fiscal Note. It says over the last century, the president's party loses on an average of at least three Senate seats and 30 House seats in the midterm elections. So, you know, I would say that the midterms are what's on deck. And I believe the voting actually doesn't happen until November, but there's a primary in March. But what do you think about this, Pastor Shelley? The midterms are around the corner. Both the Democrats and Republicans are ready to go. They're excited. They're going out and knocking doors, canvassing, hoping that people will vote for their chosen candidates and swing the political momentum in their favor.
Well, obviously, you know, people want to change, especially right now, considering how horrible our country is. But I think that they put a lot of false hope in the ideal of a lot of Republicans coming in and correcting the course and changing our nation. Whereas the real problem is just liberalism in both parties. I feel like both parties are just really just two wings of the same bird here. And while a lot of people think that the Republicans are so much better, really, I think when we look at liberalism as a whole, we look at where Republicans have come from in the past, as far as their policy procedures, things that they've advocated for all the way to now, that we see that liberalism is dragging everyone down into the same lowest common denominator. And so, you know, I don't put any hope in the midterm elections. I know I've seen some articles talking about how many Democrats are just not even going to run anymore. I think it was like 28 or something like that, maybe even higher at this point. But even if we had 100% Republican House, 100% Republican Senate, liberalism's still a problem for me. And I feel like the Republicans are, as some affectionately call, rhinos, Republican in name only, meaning that they simply just want to be elected. They don't really care the party name whatsoever. In fact, I think a lot of Democrats have even switched party in the last few years, just calling themselves a Republican because they looked at it and they said, well, the Republican Party today is like the Democrat Party when I started, right. So might as well just call myself a Republican because it's no different.
Mm-hmm. Well, to play devil's advocate for you, okay, there might be someone listening to this right now and thinking about the COVID lockdowns, for example. And I think there might be an argument to be made that if the Republicans get a majority of seats in the House and Senate, that, because here's the thing, they seem to have flip-flopped on the issue. Obviously, when Trump was president, both Republicans and Democrats were very pro-lockdown and were all in on that boat. I understand that. But it seems like it's kind of been split now between the parties where the right or the conservative, the mainline conservatives, the Republicans are kind of anti-lockdown. Democrats want to bring all of those COVID measures back, vaccine passports, etc. So my question for you, though, Pastor Shelley, is this. Because let's just talk about the ramifications of the midterms for a second, okay? If the Democrats win, right, do you see the country taking steps back into totalitarianism, vaccine passports all over the place? I mean, do you think there'll be a massive negative impact when it comes to the government's response to COVID? And is that an excuse for people to go hit the polls?
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with voting in my estimation, but at least as far as if that's your only option, I don't really believe in voting as like an ideal government policy per se, but when we find ourselves in, you know, 2021 or 2022, I'm sorry, America, and voting is, you know, theoretically what we're supposed to do. I don't believe that voting is necessarily wrong, but, you know, to me, I feel like you have to have a threshold. You have to have a barrier upon which you say it doesn't really matter how the candidates favor, you know, one's a little bit better than the other, one's worse than the other. There's just a certain threshold that I'm just not willing to cross in support of a particular candidate or personality. And I think that with the way politics have gotten, and since people just always vote for the lesser of two evils, they've kind of tricked themselves into getting to the point now where politics and these Republicans and these Democrats just keep getting worse and worse and worse. I think if everybody just basically just said, we're not going to vote unless you give us a good candidate, it could theoretically change the landscape. But obviously, you know, if I don't vote and another person doesn't vote, that's, you know, a drop of water in a hot stove. So we kind of understand that. But I mean, I'm sure that there's still candidates out there that are decent enough for some people to vote, especially in the state of Texas. There might be, you know, a Ron Paul type or other libertarian, more conservative type politicians that you may feel advocate good policies. I mean, I think that there's still some politics even in Texas where they're against abortion per se, you know, and not just killing it like it's 3 months or whatever, but actually just killing it at all. They actually stand against that. So I think that there's still probably some people that may be a viable option theoretically to vote for. But when it comes to, you know, our country as a whole, I just don't believe that politics is going to fix anything, because politics at the end of the day is a reflection of what people believe and what a reflection of people are like. So if you really want to change the landscape, you kind of have to change the people. You have to change our culture. You have to educate the populace. And that's why, you know, you see all these draconian measures as far as like censoring information on YouTube, censoring information on Facebook, putting all these fact checkers and everything like that. You know, all the different rules and things that are coming down the pike through public school and public education. Those are where the real changes are actually taking place. And so if we're not combating those particular institutions and areas, it really doesn't matter what you do at the ballot box, in my opinion. So, and again, it's not really an easy fight. It's something that we have to definitely take to task, but why not have a podcast exposing liberalism?
That's right. And I think it's also worth noting, too, that, and this is where YouTube might actually decide to nuke us, but there's probably tons of rigging going on anyway. I mean, every election has fraud, and so who knows? You might go in and vote for, you know, some conservative, like you were talking about, some Ron Paul type or whatever in a local election, and then the machine switches the vote or something. There's tons of fraud. It's all rigged anyway. But I mean, I think, you know, and that does play a role. I think people should think about that kind of stuff before they commit their life to joining campaigns and doing, you know, canvassing and things like that. But another thing too, let's talk about some more ramifications of this. Joe Biden is 106 years old or whatever. I don't know how old he is, in the late 70s or something like that. Okay. He is a brain in a vat. This guy cannot string a sentence together. He needs help walking. He's essentially a demented pervert at this point, is what he is. But he's kept it close to the vest and even has denied that he's not going to run in 2024. Do you think maybe after the midterms are over, he comes out and admits, all right, I'm retiring in 2024. They're going to have to bring somebody else to replace me. You know, is that something that he probably waits until after the midterms to announce? And I heard Mark Dice say this, but the idea is like, he doesn't want to weaken his party right before the midterms. So he'll wait till afterward to announce that he's done and that he's not going to run for re-election in 2024. Do you see that potentially?
Well, I think what's going to happen is someone's going to probably wipe his bottom and then hand him a cue card, and then he's going to go out and read it somewhat incoherently. I mean, Joe Biden isn't making any decisions, let's be honest. But I do believe that the Democratic Party, I agree, is not going to necessarily deflate the balloon before the midterm election. So they probably won't necessarily announce, because if Joe Biden basically just says, I'm done, it's going to put a lot of just uncertainty in a cloud around the Democratic Party, because that was kind of the whole situation with Trump. I mean, Trump, everybody knew who was going to run a Republican. Obviously, Trump was the incumbent president, right, and everything like that. But when it came to the Democratic side, it was kind of up in the air. Nobody really knew. I mean, think about the vice president itself. Joe Biden took so long to announce his candidate and was basically just, you know, saying the bimbo of the week was going to be his VP. He's like, well, I'll take a girl, but I don't really know who. And then I guess, you know, Kamala is just, is that girl. So yeah. I don't, you know, it doesn't really matter, because if Joe Biden's not in charge and Kamala wouldn't be in charge, like, what really does it really matter, the puppet that they put on their hand? I mean,
his handlers are the ones that are in charge regardless. So it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, like, Kamala is so unpopular. Nobody likes her. I'm curious what they would do in that scenario. Do they just, you know, insert Hillary in there, or does Kamala just take the presidency? I don't know. But here's something else to keep in mind, too, and this will get you excited. Donald Trump is waiting for the results of the midterms because he wants to run again. And in fact, The Hill, for those of you Trumpers out there, this will get you excited. And Tim, if you want to put this on the screen, 5 Trump quotes that indicate he will run in 2024. He has said the country needs it. He has said, I guess a bad call from a doctor or something, right? When he was asked, what would prevent you from running? And he says, well, a bad call from a doctor. We need Dylan in here to do his Trump impersonation. He's really good at it. He says, if I faced DeSantis, I'd beat him like I would beat everyone else. He said, if you love the country, you have no choice. And then he said, if I do decide not to run again, I think my base is going to be very angry. So these are things that Donald Trump has said. So it looks like maybe he's waiting for the results of the midterms here, Pastor Shelley, but we might see the return of MAGA. How could you not get pumped up for that? I mean, it's not like Trump gave us the vaccines and all the rest of it. No, we'll just ignore that. But come on, man, make America great again. Donald Trump makes his return to the White House, and it's all determined by the results of the midterms. How could you not get pumped up?
Well, again, because liberalism is a cancer and Donald Trump is filled with it. So, you know, it really doesn't matter to me what person we're putting in political office. Honestly, I just don't even care. I mean, really, our country is just going to hell in a handbasket and is just filled with just so much liberal ideology, and people are just falling for it hook, line, and sinker. And I think that if America as a whole could just figure out a way to reject liberalism, you know, the political landscape will fix itself. Okay.
Right.
I think that some people, it's like they give too much power to these people in their mind, you know, and even Joe Biden, he tried to take a lot of power thinking that he's like a king or something. And notice how it got slapped down so many different ways. I mean, Joe Biden is trying to put a forced vaccine mandate, and it's already gone to the Supreme Court. And they've, you know, basically restricted these things, ruled them unconstitutional. They're kind of denying a lot of these mandates and smacking them back down. And think about, I mean, we're talking about a pretty liberal Supreme Court here. We're talking about liberal politics at its best. And they can't even get behind these vaccine mandates and everything. Because at the end of the day, our system's supposed to be built on a bunch of checks and balances. And it's not one person's in charge of everything. So if America as a whole were to have course correction, then you could have a slow iteration of replacing all of these political offices and actually, you know, correct the system, theoretically. I think it's too corrupt. I'm not necessarily hopeful for that, but I'm just saying that's the real solution if you are even going to try to have a solution, not getting your guy in office. These guys are, you know, fake in my opinion. How can you be so adamant and just almost every day of your life saying, hey, the election was stolen, it was a fraud, you know, they cheated, blah, 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 and then say like, but I'll run again. I mean, how can I even believe you're a sincere person at all if they cheated, you know, the first time? You know, it's like, the first time you deceive me, shame on you. You know, the second time you deceive me, shame on me, right?
Yep,
Fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me twice,
shame on
you. As George Bush once said, you can't get fooled again. But anyway, that's the outdated reference. Let's play that Joe Biden clip about him kind of flip-flopping on marriage, just to play, if you want, just to kind of demonstrate that the political landscape has deteriorated to the point that, but what I'm, here's the point. The Overton window has shifted so far to the left, and we'll point out the Republicans too. I wanted to play that Freedom Tunes thing and react to it. But what do you say? There's like a 30-second thing. If Tim could
tee it up,
tee it up for us. This Joe Biden flip flop on marriage, which is hilarious to see.
The next 3 weeks, I'm told, gay marriage, a flag amendment, and God only knows what else. I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law, the Defense of Marriage Act. We've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Do you support gay marriage?
No. Mom, I'm transgender.
Oh, get her off the screen. Get off the screen. I can't look at it. All right.
Oh, man. You know what's funny to me, though, when you think about this? That Joe Biden would be labeled an extremist in the Republican Party if that was his position today.
Exactly.
That's a very good example of the fact that, I mean, even Republicans today would not dare say that. Trump would not dare say that.
No, he hasn't.
Trump thinks it's great that Pete Buttigieg is, you know, up there on the stage with his husband or whatever, which is disgusting filth. I mean, they're not really married because it's just a sham. It's not legitimate. But here's the thing. You're not going to fix politics with these lying scumbags who don't believe anything. Joe Biden doesn't believe anything. I don't believe that Trump and these individuals believe anything. And what we really need is to expose the liberalism shift, because a lot of people are just simply ignorant of history. And I feel like history is a really important aspect here, because when you start explaining to people positions that you hold, they think that you're radical extreme, that you've never heard about these, you know, this is new or something. And it's like, no. This is what Joe Biden believed. This is what everybody believed throughout history. And we kind of see this constant ever-shifting goalpost where liberalism is just creeping in, just slowly decaying, and it's this cancer killing America. You know, I saw a video clip. It's pretty funny. It's from this YouTube channel called Freedom Tunes. You watch Freedom Tunes sometimes?
Yes, I have.
And they show Republicans on their ever-shifting political positions as well. Can we run that clip too? Do we have that one teed up? Let's play the Freedom Tunes one, because this one's even better. It's kind of a mockery of Republicans.
The left is trying to steal America. Creeping socialism, more aggressive gun control, sex changes for children in the Republican Party. We won't stand for any of that for another 5 years.
That's right. We don't put up with the left's radical agenda until they start to contradict it. And then we adopt it to totally own them by saying, I'm a better liberal than you are. See, I owned you. Transgender athletes? A man can't take a role that's meant for a woman. Opposing gay marriage? That's just retrograde. Ban assault weapons? What part of shall not be infringed, don't you understand? Pump stocks? No one needs one of those. Late-term abortion? But life is precious at every stage. Ban first trimester abortions, but those kill them really early on. See, if we let old-school conservatives like him run the show, we'll never be taken seriously when we try to push back against obvious atrocities, like transgender three-year-olds.
Stop! I'm you from the future! You have to drop the issue of transgender three-year-olds, and no one's gonna take us seriously when we try to fight transgender fetuses! And I'm you from the even further future! You have to stop opposing transgender fetuses! It makes us look retrograde for trying to ban child sacrifice after 2 years! I'm from the even further future! Stop being such a stickler about giving painkillers to the two-year-olds used in child sacrifice ritual! That's just a slippery slope to ending child sacrifice altogether, and everyone knows it!
Maybe you could just stick to your principles?
People like you are destroying the movement!
Hey, folks, thank you so much for watching.
That was such a good clip. I just love that clip because it's just, it really highlights the fact that, you know, Republicans, they just change all the time and adopt liberal policies. And here's the thing. Where is the stop? You know, at what point would we stop? At what point are we going to see someone actually say, like, you know what, I'm going to stick with this position?
Right.
You know, and really, you know, it's kind of highlighting an extreme view, like giving painkillers to children when mm-hmm. you offer them up as child sacrifice. But here's the thing. 20 years ago, would anybody 20 years ago have honestly said, I believe in America, we're going to have little children being able to get a sex change without approval from their parents?
Oh, it's disgusting.
I mean, what in the world is going on?
It's absolutely disgusting.
That's where you see the cancer, and the cancer takes you to a place that you never wanted to go, you never dreamed of going. And honestly, we need people to start, you know, exposing this agenda, showing the hypocrisy of Republicans, not just the Democrats.
Oh, absolutely.
And really showing that, you know, we need Americans, you know, to realize that without the word of God, which doesn't change, there's no way to ever have a stopping point here.
Right.
You know, we have to be able to point to some kind of a document. We have to point to something to say, like, here's the standard. We're not going to move off of that. You know, that's why it's important to have the Babs biased, so that you say, it doesn't really matter how far off the cliff you guys go, I'm not going to walk off of this cliff.
We're staying right here. I am the Lord, I change not. You know, the word of God doesn't change. And let me just point out something, because some people might say, well, you guys, this will, you know, show me some proof. All right, well, I have an article pulled up right here. It started with Dick Cheney, and this is just one issue. Dick Cheney, it says here, this is NBC News, Cheney at odds with Bush on gay marriage. Vice President Dick Cheney, whose daughter Mary is a lesbian, it says here, drew criticism for both proponents and foes of gay marriage Tuesday after he distanced himself from President Bush's call for a ban on it. So it started with him. Then you have Donald Trump, and you referenced this earlier. I think it's great seeing Buttigieg on stage with his husband. That's the Republican Party today. That's who everybody wants to get behind. And then you have this guy. He was featured in a documentary that I think you and I are very familiar with, Pastor Shelley. Republican Rob Portman supports homo marriage. Senator Portman reversed opposition to gay marriage, revealing that his son, you know, is one. So my point is this. You have this Republican who at one point was a staunch traditional marriage advocate, changes position. Trump comes out and says it. You have Dick Cheney back in the day when he was involved in politics, when he wasn't blowing up the Twin Towers, came out and did interviews about how he supports it. And so you have these Republicans. Again, what are we demonstrating for you? That the Overton window has changed. And that's just one issue, by the way. The Overton window has shifted so far to the left, and all we've done is show you one example, one issue, the marriage issue. You know, and there's so many others. You talk about abortion. You talk about how soft they've gotten on abortion and so many other social issues as well. And I think that cartoon is 100% accurate. Who knows where they'll be in 5 to 10 years? You know, I saw this meme where it's like, it had like the transgender and sodomite flag mixed in together. And then it was like conservatives in like 2030, and it was just the normal LGBT flag. It's like, go back to tradition. I don't know. You remember? I think I've seen that. But my point is this. They keep degrading because liberalism is a disease that has infected even those who call themselves conservative.
Well, again, you know, when you don't have a stopping point, we don't have the Bible to basically say, you know, I can't make this change because, you know, the word of God has not changed whatsoever. You're really just going to see, a degenerate, cascading, you know, falling away that's just never going to stop.
Exactly.
And I'm not opposed to change. You know, there has been some changes in America that were good. There's been changes that are needed, especially as technology increases, as we have new devices, new tools, new situations. We're going to have new laws. And so obviously, you know, change in and of itself is not bad per se, but we have to have some kind of a guiding rod. We have to have some kind of a standard upon which we say, this is something that I'm not willing to change on. And it used to be that the Bible was the standard for America. You know, it was the standard for the law. It was a standard for the school, a standard for, you know, the household. It was standard for the church. But liberalism is not just affecting politics. You know, we've also talked a lot about politics, but let's be honest, liberalism is affecting church. It's affecting school. It's affecting the home. It's affecting every area of life today. And people have to realize that if they don't decide, I'm going to adhere to the Bible, that they're going to literally fall hook, line, and sinker for the Freedom Tunes future.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're just going to go and do anything and everything. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that history repeats itself. And we see in the Old Testament groups of people that are literally performing child sacrifice. I mean, they're doing all kinds of horrible, horrendous things that are unimaginable. And that degeneracy is the result of not checking liberalism at the door, not saying we're not going to compromise on the Bible. And to me, if I were really look at liberalism, I think it's a spiritual issue. I think that it's rejecting the standards of the Bible and essentially tolerating anything other than God's word. Mm-hmm. And really, we just see this just giant shift away from the word of God. It kind of makes me think of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, which says there's going to be a great falling away. And I think that anybody that's paying attention, you know, the Bible tells us to watch, right, and to be awake, that we have to notice in politics and in all kinds of areas of our life, we're seeing this liberalism, we're seeing this cancer affecting our culture, affecting our country, affecting the world, frankly speaking. You know, what are some of the other areas that we've been seeing this really affected?
Well, how about their promotion of, it's affecting the health world. How about their promotion of obesity? How about the fact that we've gotten to the point now where their reality denial knows no bounds? And apparently their ideology comes with the increased risk of being morbidly obese because they're calling this idea of wanting to, you know, live a healthy life and eat right and refrain from gluttony, fat shaming. They say that's wrong. They say that criticizing the idea of being morbidly obese is fat shaming. And so it's actually impacting people's health, Pastor Shelley. And it's why you and I have noticed this, but you go to schools across the country. For me, I noticed it when I went to university and when a student, female student, a particular semester looked normal, feminine, everything like that. She'd come back the next semester, just a few months later, and put on a lot of weight, but also shaved the head off, infected feminism, and all of a sudden looks like a mental illness patient. So I think that you see physical, like there's actually like a physical consequence of their ideology, which is just eat whatever you want, it doesn't matter, be as unhealthy as possible. And so it results in these people literally looking dead. And so you look into the right, it's all in the eyes, Chico. Someone said that, you know, that's a famous quote. But Pastor Shelley, you look into the eyes and it's just they're dead. It's because that they promote this horrible, unhealthy lifestyle. And anybody who criticizes it is fat shaming and wrong and hateful and bigoted.
Well, what you were describing there is called the Freshman 15. So,
yeah, true.
But you know, there's a lot of reasons why that happens. And, you know, it's surprising, birth control actually causes women to gain weight. And I'm talking about the pills and the drugs and everything like that. But, you know, what's insane is the idea that, you know, someone being overweight or being even morbidly obese is somehow actually a good thing, or that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's an alternative lifestyle. And really, that's what liberalism has done, is it's taken everything that's like wrong, sinful, unhealthy, and they try to repackage it as an alternative lifestyle. But it's all coming from one source, and that source is the love of money. I mean, the Bible says it's the root of all evil. And if you think about it, why is it that companies want to essentially stop fat shaming? It's because they don't want them to stop eating at McDonald's. They don't want them to stop eating all the Twinkies and the Ho-Hos and going to Burger King and getting all their sugary drinks and the milkshakes and the fries and just, and look, I'm not against good food. I'm not even against eating, you know, desserts and these type of things every once in a while. But, you know, moderation is important in our lives. Temperance is a biblical principle that we're supposed to learn. And we need these principles. And it's silly. I've read a lot of articles. They say that literally just a doctor suggesting to its patient, you know, that it's being overweight could have a negative impact on itself as a form of fat shaming. And it's just kind of incredible to me how far we go where literally the liberalism is just calling evil good and good evil. And the fact that a doctor who certainly, you know, is in most cases only concerned with their patient's health is trying to make a very valid suggestion of improving their health and in trying to help them survive and be happier, be more active, have more energy, live a longer life, as viewed as a demonization of just trying to hurt that individual. And it's gotten to such extreme. There was an article, I think I sent it to you.
You did.
But this is the hypocrisy of liberalism. This is the hypocrisy of the left. They're so against fat shaming.
Let me pull it up.
But there's this article, and I hope you can pull it up, but essentially it's saying something to the effect of that plus size models are good for mental health.
I've got it up.
That plus size models are somehow good for our mental health. And this is not the only article. There's, in fact, several articles, and it's kind of the same information repackaged, reshared. And I'm not going to read the entire article for you, but essentially what they did is they took a group of women and they had them view all types of different advertisements with skinny women, average-sized women, larger women. And then they got their feedback. And they said when the women would look at, you know, like a model or something, they would compare themselves and they felt bad about themselves. And then when they compared themselves to these large, you know, beached whales or whatever, they somehow felt good about their body. And this is what's so funny about that. What's happening is the exact opposite of what they even are claiming or trying to do, because they're so against fat shaming. Yet what they really are doing is they're taking a beached whale like Tess
I know who you're
Holiday,
talking about.
I think, yeah. Tess Holiday, putting it on the magazine so that all the women could look and judge her and basically laugh and scoff at her for being such a morbidly obese, disgusting whale. And then it makes them somehow feel bad or better about themselves. So it's basically they're promoting the idea of literally feeling better about yourself by fat shaming people, while at the same time saying we should stop fat shaming people. And really, that's just the hypocrisy of the left. That's the hypocrisy of liberalism, is that it doesn't actually genuinely care about any of these issues. You know, God forbid a pastor or a medical doctor or family member would say, hey, I think you should be a little healthy, maybe you should lose a little weight. That should be condemned. But getting a giant lady to put on a magazine to all laugh at and scorn and mock the fact that she's so disgusting, yet on the cover of a magazine, is going to somehow be the right thing, right? I mean, that's really where we are in America today. Just they don't even, up is down, down is up. I mean, nobody even wants to look at it. It's repulsive. I accidentally saw a couple of these pictures, and I'm not going to scar your eyes with it. I did scar Ben's, but I'm not going to scar you as the general public, okay? But I mean, I called it gross. I mean, what was your reaction when you saw the picture I showed you earlier?
I was repulsed. Okay. But look, people are good. Okay. Here's the thing. I'm not saying, and I'll speak for Pastor Shelley even. It's not like we're saying you have to be one of these photoshopped. We're against that too. Obviously, Hollywood has the fake image where it's photoshopped and all that.
How can you be photoshopped without a filter?
Exactly. Man, there you go. But my point is, though, to sit there and deny reality and claim that being extremely, extremely obese doesn't impact your health. In a world where people want to wear 15 masks and take 75 booster shots for a common cold named Omicron, or however it's supposed to be pronounced, the Greek speakers will correct me on that. But it's like ridiculous. Like, you know, obviously, you know, if people want to be health conscious, then okay, let's talk about the means by which you could be health conscious, which is your diet. Now, with that said, Pastor Shelley, how about after we go off the air, you and I go grab ourselves a quarter pounder from McDonald's? What do you say?
You know, I will regret that immediately after eating it. Never mind. It would taste good.
All right.
I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, when it comes to health, everybody's going to be sensitive about their weight. And, you know, I'm not down on people that are overweight because, especially if you look at the BMI charts of today, virtually everyone's overweight, unless you look like Ben over here. But, I mean, the BMI charts are just kind of crazy to look at. And, you know, some people are like really genuinely healthy, very strong, very muscular, and they would fail the BMI charts. Obviously, some people are going to have a little bit more body fat just naturally, genetically. And I'm not even saying that's a sin. You know, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not be fat and everything like that. But in America, it's pretty obvious that we're gorging ourselves on a lot of junk food, let's be honest. And that junk food has consequences to it. You know,
that is true.
It's going to make you more sedentary. It's going to make you kind of addicted to the processed type foods, tastes, everything like that. And, you know, me and my wife, we've tried to eat a lot of organic food. You know, we like to try to eat some of the healthier foods, make, you know, I like my wife's food that she makes at home. And really, when you kind of get the good stuff, the stuff made from home, the scratch, you go back to the McDonald's, you kind of see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. When you're only being fed from the trough of the McDonald's trough, you know, where they just grind, I don't know, whatever kind of ingredients together and call it meat. I mean, that's, you know, you don't really know a difference. It's right. Kind of like the Republicans. They just get a couple of Republicans and Democrats just mix them together and call it hamburger meat. But, you know, when it comes to like the real food, when you start eating that, you kind of can see how you want to reject the garbage and the junk. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying with liberalism. We kind of need to get people on the Word of God and getting into a good church and you know, start studying the Bible again so that they see all the junk that the world is promoting and offering, reject the Happy Meal and, you know, get joy from the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, you know, it's not just the Republican Party that has been infected with this, but individuals as well is infected with liberalism. And like I said, it's leading to them just destroying themselves physically from a physical perspective. But how about entire cities? And, you know, it's not a coincidence, but here's an article for you. And it's pulled up now. Democrats at the helm of 11 of the 15 deadliest cities in the United States in terms of violent crime and things of that nature. And then, you know, you have to take into account, I'll just read the first lead, I'll read the lead here. A TND analysis of the 15 deadliest cities in America discovered that 11 of them are primarily run by Democrats. Of course, the National Desk looked at the party affiliations of mayors, district attorneys, sheriffs, and city council members within the nation's 15 cities, which currently hold the highest murder rates, according to the World Population Review. So if you want to go to a crap hole, then find the bluest city you can find, and make no mistake about it, the chances of you getting stabbed, getting shot, getting robbed, they skyrocket. Brought to you by leftism, because everyone loves to get killed in the streets. I know someone, in fact, who was murdered in an alley someplace, but that's a different topic for a different time. Pastor Shelley, what do you think about the fact that, yes, the liberal ideology has infected the Republican Party. It's infected the political arena as a whole. It infects individuals and brainwashes them into being as morbidly obese as possible, and for women to chop their hair off, diet pink, and run around looking like mental illness patients who are addicted to heroin. And now, cities. It infects cities and turns them into third world countries, essentially. What do you think about that talking point?
Well, it's obvious that Democrats are leading the pack in the way of filth, evil, and smut. You know, but facts are racist, so it's kind of difficult for us to walk around that talking point. But, you know, obviously cities in themselves have always been a little bit more liberal, more Democrat by nature. So it wouldn't surprise me that the majority of these cities are Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. Democrats really is just the party of the devil. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to say that the Republicans are the worst party ever, because obviously Democrats are far worse. It's just the fact that the Democrats and the Republicans, instead of them getting further and further apart, it's like they continue to travel in the same direction together. and the Republicans just stay a healthy distance, you know, 5 feet away. They keep their social distancing. They're about 6 feet away, but all chasing in the same direction. And, you know, what we really need is for a party to just stop or actually reverse and go back into the right direction towards the word of God. We need revival in this country. And, you know, it's inevitable that crime's going to explode when you reject God's word, when you're not using the laws of the Lord to regulate a city and a country. And, you know, we're going to see this continually increase. The Bible says, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. So the Bible makes it clear that there's going to be a lot of danger. There's going to be a lot of evil. And it's going to be a direct result of abandoning the Bible.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why you should own a weapon, both spiritual and carnal.
But, you know, this is what's interesting to me. We look at other countries, and they're not Christian. They're not using the Bible as their standard. Yet, they're not nearly as liberal as America. I mean, you look at countries like China, not really the Bible Belt.
No.
Not really a country that elevates the Word of God. Yet, they're restricting their teenagers playing video games. They don't have women in the workforce telling men what to do. Mm-hmm. They don't have all of these, you know, liberal ideologies, these woke philosophies just creeping in everywhere, destroying their country. And I honestly believe that a lot of these foreign countries are thinking it's great that we're becoming more and more liberal because they just are watching us just literally destroy ourselves.
Yes.
And it just boggles my mind that Americans today can't see the agenda for what it is, can't see the propaganda for what it is, can't see the consequences for what it is, and that they still will vote for these Democrats. I mean, who's voting for Democrats anymore? I get the reason not to vote at all, but I'm just saying, like, who would in the right mind, I can see why you'd vote for Republican just because of the lesser of two evils, but who in their right mind is voting for a Democrat?
Marxists with purple hair and a nose ring.
So basically people that just want to destroy our country.
Yeah, and everything, the world.
I mean, not only do they destroy it through crime, what about homelessness? Don't you have some statistics on that? There's a great documentary called San Francisco, and it was made by one of our friends. You should go check it out on YouTube. I think you can still find it if you search hard enough.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the funniest scenes in that film, I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm not going to try and spoil too much, but there's a scene, and you have to watch it because I can't do it justice, but this guy is filming in the inside of a McDonald's, your favorite establishment over here we've been talking so much about. And this homeless guy brings in a dead raccoon and puts it on the table. And there's this guy outside, and he's freaking out, which, praise the Lord, he freaked out. He didn't think it was great or, you know, where can I order one? You know, but I didn't get that in my Happy Meal. But he's just like, the guy brought a dead raccoon into McDonald's.
I have a screenshot of this video, just a screenshot if you want to, Tim.
Exactly. That is exactly the video clip. Dude, this is like one of the funniest videos I had seen. But it's funny and depressing all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because we see this kind of, in fact, there's also a poop map for San Francisco because there's so much just human feces all over the sidewalk and everywhere in San Francisco because that's literally what liberalism does. It brings in filth, crime, smut, it just completely destroys everything. Just like cancer, it's not going to benefit. It's not going to help. We need the Word of God. We need the Bible. We need people to cling back to the Baptist bias.
Absolutely. And you had referenced this, but just to kind of back you up, SF houses, San Francisco houses, more homeless people than almost any other city. And yet it could, and this is editorializing here, and yet it could and should do more, is what they say. And so I'll just read the lead. San Francisco's chronic homeless crisis revolves around the banal, federally mandated point-in-time homeless count, which delivers terrible news for SF every 2 years. 2019 count turned out particularly bad for SF after submitting an official figure of more than 8,000 persons. There's like tent cities. This photo does a good job of kind of telling the story, but there's entire tent cities in San Francisco. There's needles on the ground, heroin needles on the ground. There's, like you talked about, human waste all over the streets. And This is the consequence. These are the ramifications of a city being turned over to Marxists and people who hate God, people who say amen and a woman in Congress, like a bunch of retards. And did you want to move on to education?
Yeah, I mean, again, we've kind of discussed a lot of this, but you know, I advocate for homeschooling, and I really think that Americans, if they really want a good education for their children, they're pretty much going to be forced to go to homeschool. And obviously, that's a big ask for a lot of families. And in America, you're always trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so people have decided that they want to have a bigger house. They want to have all this money. They want to go out to eat all the time, as opposed to having the wife stay home and raise the children.
Right.
But the reality is that when you feed your children to the cancer of liberalism, I mean, what price would you pay if someone said, hey, I want to put your kid in a testing lab and they're going to be exposed to all kinds of cancer for 8 hours every single day, and it only affects 99% of the children subjected to this? I mean, you would be insane to so. And really, how is that any different with the public school system today, where they're literally just trying to infect their mind, their heart? And, you know, even if a child could theoretically, you know, combat just the education aspect, just what's coming from the teacher itself, the peer pressure alone, I mean, just the fact that you're surrounded by so many other students that are falling for this hook, line, and sinker, it's almost an unbridgeable gap where you just can't just stay the course typically by yourself while being in this, you know, system of where you're just completely surrounded with liberal ideology, just all kinds of just ungodliness and just a rejection of the Bible. And I've seen a lot of parents getting mad at the school board, but if you're so mad, why don't you just take your kid out and just educate it yourself?
Oh, I agree.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I mean, why would I yell at a bunch of leftists to try and stop being leftists? You know, really, no one's going to care about your kid as much as you do. And to me, it makes the most sense to, you know, pull them out, start homeschooling them, teaching them history, teaching them real science, teaching them mathematics, so that they don't fall for this nonsensical 2 + 2 = 5, or you're racist, mm-hmm. or, you know, just a complete rejection of what America has even looked like historically, you know, labeling every single person just this horrible racist, and, you know, the system was broken and we're here to fix it and remedy everything. You know, everybody thought the earth was flat, and so we came along and re-educated. Look, I went to school and they taught us that, like, everybody thought the earth was flat until essentially, like, you know, Christopher Columbus or something, or in the late 1600s or something like that, they finally, you know, Magellan or something, they finally realized that it's not flat. But that's just like nowhere found in history. It just seems like it was completely made up. Is that something that they told you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was the same narrative, which, I mean, the Bible debunks that. No one in the Bible believed that nonsense.
Right, but this is their philosophy. They want you to believe that everybody was a stupid moron throughout history and that now we're smart. Like, now we actually have understanding. Whereas if you compare ourselves to the previous generations, we're standing on the shoulders of giants here. And the generations before us were much more intelligent, much more well-educated. They had higher levels of skill, higher levels of work ethic. I mean, they keep declining and decreasing the SAT scores, standards to enter into college, standards to, you know, pass all kinds of medical tests. Yeah. I mean, everything's just constantly being lowered, even just to get a job. You know, it used to be you had to have really good oral and written communication skills. You know, now it's just like, do you have a heartbeat? And we'll give you a job, mm-hmm. essentially. And we just see this just constant decline. I remember reading, you know, or being in school, and they would say, oh, well, you know, back then people weren't as educated, like George Washington and others. And I believe about George Washington, I think he only had an 8th grade education formally. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you look it up, and maybe we should, you know, do the research, but I'm pretty sure if you look it up, for his 8th grade, exam, like essentially to pass the eighth grade, he one of the requirements was he had to write an essay in Latin and then recite it in Latin.
Eighth grade.
That's what he had to do to pass. I mean, I guarantee 90-some percent of college students would not be able to study a foreign language like Latin, write a coherent paragraph monologue, and then recite it in Latin. Never. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy because they use that to mock the idea of like, oh, they weren't that educated. But then when you compare the knowledge and the information they had at that age to what our college graduates are coming out with, you know, an underwater basket weaving, you know, degree where they basically, you know, they study LGBT history or something like that. Yeah. Or, I mean, the degrees are ridiculous today. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you want to go with the education system, but I that's a whole nother discussion for, need to do another podcast on education specifically.
We will. And that's a whole nother, like you said, we can go on for another 2 hours about that. I did want to mention one thing though, because you brought up college. You also brought up people being qualified for jobs these days. Well, if you would pull up my screen, Mr. Producer, the newest campus microaggression coming out of the University of California is this. I believe the most qualified person should get the job. That's racist. That's offensive. That's bigoted. You brought up the eighth grade and somebody reciting Latin. Well, college, and you said college students wouldn't be able to do that. You're right, because this is the kind of garbage that the next generation is learning. The most qualified person should get the job is offensive and racist and bigoted and hateful. These people can barely tie their shoelaces. They're a bunch of basket cases that the college universities and the college system as a whole is producing. And the elementary schools as well. They're teaching kids transgender propaganda and indoctrination. This past Sunday when I filled the pulpit in a church in Houston, I talked a little about that and how even kids as young as 3 years old are being infected with this perversion, this corruption, this grotesque and evil indoctrination of little children as young as three. That's what's happening in the public school system today. And it makes me absolutely sick. And it really honestly makes me want to lose my mind, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take some deep breaths here live on the air and not do that. I'll refrain myself. However, I do want to quote, read to you just real quickly from the Bible. It says in Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Yeah, I sympathize with parents who are upset at the education system and school boards for the propaganda and the brainwashing that they're feeding their children. But the real solution, as was pointed out moments ago by Pastor Shelley, it lies with homeschooling. And I think that we see the biblical prescription for this issue right here. Thou shalt teach them. Teach your own children so they can know the laws of God, traditional, conservative, biblical values, rather than the degeneracy that the public school system is giving him today, which, by the way, has been infected, and I think we've demonstrated that with liberalism, just to keep going on with the theme of leftism as a disease, as a cancer that destroys its host. And the education system as a whole, whether it's the elementary schools or the universities across the country, just yet another host that's been infected and corrupted by leftism. Pastor Shelley?
Well, I was looking up some of the crazy
Do you need me to keep
No, you're fine.
You good? Okay.
But you can get a college degree in puppetry.
All right.
So, I mean, honestly, I thought the system was broken, but now that I realize... we're going to send Dylan back to college, and we're going to get him a degree in puppetry for our next broadcast.
There's a clip I wanted to... Do you mind?
Yeah, let's do the clip.
Okay. There's a clip. Our Mr. Producer, Tim, if you don't mind, Matt Walsh owning the school board. Do we have that or no? Okay, let's play that. I don't really, honestly, I've heard the name Matt. Do you know Matt Walsh at all?
I know who he is, yeah.
Okay. Do you like him?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay, so maybe we shouldn't even bother playing it.
Well, you can play it. That's fine.
All right, let's play it. I think it was good. Go ahead.
all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students, to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon.
So again, I don't know a lot about that guy. I don't know if he's like a Ben Shapiro or whatever, if he's like lame or anything. But I thought that was a cool clip, though, and I appreciated that he let those people on the school board have it. And frankly, I agree with everything that he said. And again, don't know who he is. Maybe he's bad or whatever. But I appreciated at least that specific clip because these people deserve to be lambasted. But ultimately, the solution is to just teach your own children. And hopefully someone out there is listening to this podcast and ends up, feeling motivated to do so.
Well, here's the thing. To me, Matt Walsh, he's a Catholic, so he doesn't have the Baptist bias, number one. But number two, to me, he's falling victim for the same Freedom Toons cartoon that we already show, where instead of really getting back to the root of a particular issue, he kind of has this halfway compromised position of trying to lecture leftists on not allowing some boy who calls himself a girl to go into the girls' locker room. I mean...
It's
how far have we fallen that we're even advocating against that per se, as if that's not just the individual's deranged, you know, beyond all repair at that point. So again, why doesn't Matt Walsh just rally those parents and say, hey, take your kids home and raise them yourself, educate them yourself, teach them, you know, the things that you actually want to teach them. And then you don't have to waste all this time. It's stupid school board meetings where you're essentially trying to ask wolves to not eat your children. Mm. I mean, can you imagine a school board meeting of sheep asking the wolves not to eat their little ewe lambs when they drop them off? I mean, it's just kind of insane. Or, the idea of a wolf who's put on a sheep's garment and then saying, well, we don't want them in the locker rooms, but it's okay if they hang out everywhere else.
Yeah, no, that's the compromising Republican Party position.
Right, like it's okay to literally have to sit next to a boy calling himself a girl, talk to it, do group projects together, hold hands, sing along, eat lunch, do PE, but you can't go to the locker room with them or whatever. Like, that's the line, right? I mean, it's not the fact that you just shouldn't have boys calling themselves girls, because we've already learned that science just dictates that men are men and women are women. I mean, we're not even addressing that. We're not even addressing just facts here. It's essentially like saying it's okay for you to believe 2 + 2 = 5, just as long as you don't force me to believe that. I mean, how about just 2 + 2 = 4? Like, it's just wrong. Like, we're not even going to tolerate any level of this. Not just, well, I don't want them to change in the same locker room, per se. I don't even want them to be in the same vicinity as my children.
Yeah, it's like, well, I just don't want them to, on the sodomite issue, I just don't want them to get married, but everything else is fine. I don't want, the vaccine, I support the vaccine. I think that it'll eradicate COVID if everyone takes it. I just don't think it should be mandated. It's this sort of compromising, sanitized, conservative ink solution, which isn't really going to change anything. And I think the ultimate solution is these people, they just take your kids out of the system, get them unplugged from the matrix. That's the only way that this that's the only way we could ever turn the tide, I think. And, I don't know about you, Pastor Shelley, but I think people might be wondering at this point, well, what is the solution to all this? Because I think we've demonstrated pretty clearly the different areas. And there's many other areas. Like, I mean, we could go on for 2 or 3 hours, but there are so many areas that the left has. And I see you pulling something up, so I won't transition too quickly. Oh, okay. Well, I think there are so many areas where the left has clearly infected its host and has slowly killed it, whether it's cities across the country, the political arena, the education system, people's health choices, and decided to be morbidly obese because that's okay, and anything otherwise, anybody who says otherwise is fat-shaming and is hateful and bigoted and racist. The left-wing outrage mobs, of course, talked about during the Benelog as well, and how these people are implacable. And we see just how they've really infected almost every crevice of our society. The question is, what do we do about it? This is the Baptist bias. You and I are Bible-believing Christians. Ultimately, we love the Word of God. We love traditional biblical values. How do we fight back against this? What's the solution, you would say, to the cancer of liberalism? How do we treat it?
Well, again, I think it's a spiritual issue. So I think it's important to point out the hypocrisy at places, to address some of these issues and to essentially say this doesn't make any sense. But at the end of the day, we're not going to fix these issues from a carnal fight alone. You're not going to be able to explain to someone that truly believes 2 + 2 = 5 that it's not racist. I mean, you know, you have to realize that there's a spiritual component here and that some people are blinded in a sense. You know, Jesus Christ, when he would just make things really clear to the Pharisees or to the Sadducees or even to the Jews in general, even though he would say things very plainly at times, they just couldn't understand, just went over their head. And he would even say things like, why can you not understand my speech? And what we have to understand as Christians, as people who have the Baptist bias, you're not going to win everybody over. You're not going to change every single person's mind. But what you can do is you can affect yourself, you can affect your children, you can infect those that are the closest to you by saying, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, we're going to go to a church that actually believes the Bible. We're going to read the Bible as a family. We're going to implement the Bible's principles in our life, no matter how countercultural they may seem. You know, instead of saying, well, should we give, painkillers to our children before we kill them? How about just say, we're not going to kill our children? You know, how about we go and go to the biblical standard on every single issue and stop questioning, you know, whether we should follow today's politics? What did Tucker Carlson say? What did Matt Walsh say? What did Ben Shapiro say? I don't care what they said. What did Jesus Christ say? What did the Apostle Paul say? What did the Apostle Peter say? What does the Law of Moses say? Those are the people that we should be listening to and hearkening to and championing. And I believe that our country is suffering from biblical illiteracy. People are simply just not reading it. They just don't even know what's in the Bible. Because of these things, it's causing them to really lack in all areas. And liberalism is a cancer that can only be fought with the light of the Word of God. You know, it's funny when you think about COVID, they talked about UV light kind of kills the COVID virus or whatever. I find that the Bible kills the virus of liberalism. And so we really need people to cling back to the Word of God and not for one second believe that Donald Trump, the midterm elections, the school board meeting, that any of this stuff is actually going to have an impact. You're simply swimming upstream, as it were, and you're not going to get anywhere. I did a little bit of research about oceans, and they have these particular waves that currents that kind of will draw back out into the middle of the ocean. And it essentially says that if you catch yourself in one of these, the best is to swim parallel to the shore, get out of that particular drift that's coming in, and then swim back to the shore. Because if you try to swim against it, you'll just be swept further out in the ocean and you'll drown and die.
Right.
And so for me, it's not trying to swim against liberalism. We need to swim away from, you know, parallel to the shore first, back to the Bible, and then with the Bible swim back to the shore because you know you're not gonna carry people all the way back from the deep dive that they've taken, this liberalism whirlwind, this current of liberalism trend that's just dragging everyone down with it.
Yeah, and I don't think that it makes any sense to validate their worldview by sitting there and debating them. And in a way, that's what you're doing by debating them and trying to go back and forth on all these carnal issues. You're sort of validating their worldview. You know, it's not worth it. They're not worthy. What they believe is so stupid that we shouldn't even glorify it with a discussion. Here's the only thing I have to say to anybody who's wrapped up in their ideology. Are you interested in knowing what the Bible says about how to go to heaven? If the answer is no, see you later. All right. It's that simple. And when you say that it's a spiritual issue, is that what you're talking about? Like the fact that they need the gospel? Are you talking specifically about the gospel, or is there more to it? What do you mean when you say it's a spiritual issue?
I would not limit it to just getting saved. Obviously, without getting saved, there's no chance. You know, people need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to accept the gospel. And then once they're saved, they're always saved. But even for saved believers, Christians today, they need to realize that they have to read the entire Bible and learn all of the Word of God in order to prevent themselves from falling victim of this same undercurrent, as it were, the same dangerous cancer that can affect any singular person. That's why it's so important to go to church and read the Bible and, you know, have a Baptist bias in your life, not have a Tucker Carlson bias, mm-hmm. not have a Matt Walsh bias, not have a Republican bias, not have a MAGA bias, but simply a Baptist bias, one that doesn't change, one that's steadfast, one that's unmovable, and really just always abounding in the work of the Lord, not always abounding in the latest talk show points.
Right. And, you know, you talk about the shifting sands. That's one of the dangers of clinging to political talking points, parties, personalities, politicians, who will go along with that shifting Overton window to the left. We demonstrated it earlier when we talked about how the Republican Party has changed so much and how they've gotten progressively more liberal and infected with this ideology. At the end of the day, the Word of God says what it says. Leviticus 20:13 is never leaving this Bible. Romans 1 is never leaving this Bible. None of the passages that people are offended by are never leaving this Bible. It's always going to be here. The King James Bible is forever. It is the eternal Word of God. And this is what people have to appeal to. And you're right. I mean, I just think that it's just easier for people to attach themselves to political movements because then they don't have to do the work of studying this, seemingly. I think that's kind of their mentality. And I also believe that for a lot of them too, though, they just haven't been reached yet. And I think that they need to get saved, and they also need to get plugged into a local church. That's the key, get plugged into a local church. Because they get saved and then end up doing nothing for the Lord or do some parachurch crap. No, get plugged into a local church and serve the Lord there.
Well, again, it's kind of like a twofold thing for me. You know, if you go home, you know, what you need to do is you need to go to the store and you need to get yourself some organic, fresh, 1 pound ground beef and mash it into patties and get a charcoal grill and fire it up and throw the meat on the grill, season it, put it on some fresh buns.
It's making me hungry.
Take a bite and then say, wow, McDonald's sucks. and really what you need to do is you need to then open your Bible and read a couple chapters, and then you say, wow, the news sucks. Wow, you know, what's going on in this world is really just not lining up with the Word of God, with power. I think we have a short-term memory loss.
Yeah, I agree.
People have forgotten what a good burger tastes like.
Yeah.
People have forgotten what the King James Bible actually says. And because of this issue, they're allowing the cancer to just get worse and worse and worse. They need some treatment. You know, they need to get in some medicine, like the Word of God, like some real food. And I think once they've tasted and seen that the Word of God is good, once they've tasted that fresh burger that they made, they're going to say, wow, this is what I needed. This is refreshing. And we really need to call people back to the Bible. We need to call people back to reading the Word of God, doing things the biblical way, regardless of how counterculture. And it really shocks me how many older people, you know, people that grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, how they would obviously know that America has changed so much for them to fall hook, line, and sinker again and say, oh, but the Republicans now are good, you know?
Right.
But now we have Trump. Now we have this anti-establishment guy. Now we have, you know, these other midterm elections. Now we have the MAGA movement. You know, people are waking up or whatever. And it's like, until people are reading the Bible, yeah, they're not waking up. It's, you know, it's a little too late, as it were, for politics. We need people to be brought back to the only standard there is, the King James Bible.
Right. That's the and you'll have to excuse this analogy, because I understand radiation therapy is, you know, really harmful for people's body, but it is used to treat cancer. And so I guess the radiation therapy that we're prescribing for people who've been who have contracted this disease would be getting saved and serving the Lord, reading the Bible and adopting a biblical worldview. That's the only hope that this country has, is the Word of God. If my people, the Bible says, will turn from their wickedness, will turn from their wicked ways. That's the only hope America has, right? And it's not going to be found in, you know, a political movement that in many ways is compromised on so many different things. And you know, the cognitive dissonance of people who are anti-vaccine and hate the, you know, they hate the COVID shot, and then will put all their hope in the guy who brags that he released it faster than anyone ever has before. You know, you don't get that kind of hypocrisy with Jesus Christ. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to suddenly turn on a dime and start promoting liberalism and things like that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Well, I really like this topic. I think it's a really broad topic, so we just kind of scattered, you know, a scatter shotgun through liberalism a little bit. But for sure, you know, the goal with this podcast is just to show a few examples of the hypocrisy, show how the shifting sands are just so obvious, and hopefully we can draw people back to the Word of God, you know, the pure words of God. The Bible makes it clear that it's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. And really, without the Bible, we would just be blind. We wouldn't know where to go or what to do. And there's nothing special about me or Brother Ben, but rather it's the Word of God. It's the gospel that makes us special. It's the commandments from the Lord that makes a group of people special. And you know what made America special was once that we held to the values of the Bible. That's what made America the exceptional country that it was. And really, as we continue to fall away from the ideals of the Word of God, we're just going to see America decay at a rapid rate. I understand you were trying to use a good example there. I wouldn't use the gospel's radiation.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, radiation treatment to me is more like Republican.
What? How do people treat cancer? What's like?
Well, to me, I don't know that there's an equivalent to a good example, because you know, it's kind of an incurable disease right now in the sense that nobody knows how to cure it. But essentially, if someone does get cancer, they have a couple different options. They can have surgery to try and remove the part of their body that has the cancer. They can do radiation treatment. But here's the thing with radiation treatment. All that does is it kills everything that you're basically shooting at. And the theory is that your immune system and body is stronger than the cancer, so you'll kill yourself just enough to kill the cancer, but not completely die, and then you'll like be able to recover eventually. And I've known some people have gone through chemotherapy and some of these treatments, and they've survived it, and you know it did theoretically eliminate the cancer at that time, and so I'm not saying it's not a valid option, but you know, the gospel doesn't like almost kill you and then you just barely survive it. It to me, it would be more like touching the hem of his garment. You're immediately healed. So, but I like the fact that you just want to help, you know, people get better. Again, because it's such a cancer, you know, we can't look for the radiation treatments and the surgery as a, you know, of the Republican Party to fix us. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to perform a miracle.
And you referenced this earlier, but one of my favorite verses in Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And if people want to know how they could view this world through the lenses of a Baptist bias, it's by holding on to the lamp of the Word of God, which will enable them to see through the darkness that is the wilderness that we find ourselves in. This world, this journey that we're all on right now, is a dark place. This is the lamp.
I think that's probably it for this evening. What do you think?
I think we pretty much covered it all.
Well, I'm looking forward. We're going to do this show for the next 9 weeks. We're doing a 10-week season. We've got a lot of great episodes. We're going to have some more guest preachers coming on. So you can check us out on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. We're going to try and incorporate some live call-ins, and we always look at the chat. So if you ever have questions or suggestions, you can always put those in the chat, or you could leave us a comment, and we'll check out our comments. We're going to be putting this on a lot of different platforms as they allow us. YouTube, Facebook, and Brother Ben's been putting in a lot of podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and I'll let him kind of hit all those podcasts again. What are all the podcasts we have?
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean right now is what we're on.
Yeah, I mean, you just put in pod and we're there. You know, we're peas in a pod right now. And so that's going to do it for this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Baptist Bias. You know, you need to get a King James Bible so that you have the right bias.
That's absolutely right. Folks, we will talk to you guys again after a while. Liberalism is a disease, and I think we found the cure tonight.